Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 65 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. Well, welcome to another segment of Match Points, where we answer questions from our listeners. If you'd like to send us a question, you can email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. Thomas from San Diego, California writes, I was taking a lesson on the serve at my local park last week. The teaching pro was very firm in telling me that I should always use a continental grip with my index finger up high on the handle like a trigger. The trigger grip is what I've always used to serve. It enables me to push my serve into the service box with a little more consistency, but my service motion feels restrictive when I try to take a more aggressive swing. The main reason I was taking a lesson on serving in the first place was to try to get beyond pushing my serves in. I recall in one of your earlier podcasts, you advocated the use of a hammer grip when serving. Is this something I should try? Hey there, Thomas. To answer your question, absolutely you should try using a hammer grip when serving, in combination with a continental, eastern forehand, or eastern backhand grip. As you've referenced in podcast episode 30, I talked about various ways to hold your racket when serving, as well as the importance of experimenting with different grip combinations, because you've got to see what will work best for you. In general, the trigger grip provides more stability, but it can be a little restrictive when it comes to maximizing racket acceleration on the serve. This is why you find it a little easier to push in your serves, but feel a little restricted in your service motion when you try to swing more aggressively. The hammer grip allows for more freedom of movement for your hand and wrist, consequently enabling greater racket acceleration on your serve. Look, physical build and makeup vary from person to person. Each person has different levels of strength, flexibility, and athleticism. I've always encouraged my players to experiment and practice serving with both the trigger and hammer grips in combination with continental eastern forehand and eastern backhand grips when hitting serves. As I've said in many previous podcasts, this is not about a right way or a wrong way of holding the racket. It's about what is right for you. You have to see what works best for you, for your specific set of attributes and skill sets. Try using various grip combinations. One or more of these combinations may very well be an upgrade over your current grip setup. Eric in Louisville, Kentucky wants to know, what's wrong with Novak Djokovic? How does a player go from being practically unbeatable through the first half of 2016 to looking like a mere mortal since then? Well, here's my take on Djokovic, and I'll preface my comments by underscoring the importance of looking at this with proper perspective. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with Djokovic. Sure, he's been a bit nicked up recently, no pun intended, and is resting a sore elbow this week, but he is still the number two player in the world and playing at a very high level. What I've observed regarding Djokovic since he won the French Open last year and completed the career Grand Slam is that he does not appear to be as willing to grind out as many of those extended athletic points. You know, those long rallies that feature multiple transitions from offense to defense, defense to offense that we've grown accustomed to seeing Djokovic play in recent years. In my view, for a player like Djokovic, who is a premier counterpuncher and not what I would consider a big power baller, he has to welcome the grind to beat top shelf opponents. He has to get back to utilizing his phenomenal court coverage, footwork, defensive skills, ability to seamlessly transition from defense to offense, and ultimately wear down his opponents physically and mentally. I mean, that has been Djokovic's modus operandi over the past several years, during which he's dominated the men's game. After he completed the career Grand Slam with his win at the French Open last year, look, it's understandable for Djokovic to have eased off the gas pedal a bit. I don't think anyone will fault him for that. The challenge for him, as it is for most athletes, is figuring out how to shift back into that top gear. I believe Djokovic has been trying hard to rediscover that top gear since the start of 2017. To me, this is a prime illustration of just how difficult it is to flip the switch. It's extremely easy to downshift, but very difficult to shift into top gear on command. Hopefully Djokovic can find that top gear again, and soon, if he is to have any realistic chance of adding to his 12 Grand Slam singles titles and catching Federer, who now has 18 Grand Slam singles titles. Let's do one more. Kate from Glendale, California writes, I'm a 39-year-old 4.5 level player who has always been a classic baseline counterpuncher. I was bumped up to 4.5 only recently. I find the players at this level are very consistent and do not give away many free points. I've been trying to play more aggressively, approaching the net and volleying much more than ever. So far, I am not faring well at this level. Do you have any suggestions? Hey there, Kate. I applaud you for playing more aggressively and trying something new. Now, without knowing the instincts and proficiency of your net game, let me put this out there for you to consider. Now, you mentioned you are a classic baseline counterpuncher, which I infer to mean that you are not naturally offensive-minded in your approach, nor are you accustomed to venturing much to the net. If that is the case, then I'm not sure it's an ideal tactic for you to try to play aggressively via a net game and leave that area of the court from which you have been most effective and have experienced most of your success. You really have to strike that delicate balance between adding new wrinkles to your game while still sticking to what you do best. Otherwise, you run the risk of going overboard and unintentionally abandoning the core strengths of your game. Thus, my suggestion for you is to be very prudent in picking those moments as to when to aggressively follow your shot to net. What you want to avoid is a situation where you try to manufacture a style of play with which you are not comfortable or can be at your best. If a classic baseline counterpunching style is your bread and butter, then leverage that as the foundation for your aggressive play. If that leads you to the net on occasion, so be it. Otherwise, don't force it. Hope that helps. To our listeners, thanks for your questions. Keep them coming. I look forward to answering more of your questions in future Matchpoint segments. As a reminder, if you'd like to send us a question, email us at askme@rockandrallytennis.com or message us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Or tweet us at rockandrally. That's rock_and_rally. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.